Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew 20, verse 28, the paradox of Christianity, part 2. Let's look at that verse, just that one verse, Matthew 20, verse 28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If the heart of Christianity is giving sacrificially, then the soul of Christianity is service. Servant is a very offensive term today. It's avoided at all costs. The word pictures a lower class of people, a demeaning status of life. And yet, there the paradox appears. You must serve if you are to lead. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Our text in this session provokes three facts about Jesus and Christian service. First of all, Jesus taught service. Go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." Jesus' followers expected him to rule Israel. So they wanted the front seats. They wanted to be in the front row. It's kind of like those who come into the church desiring leadership roles, but are not willing to be patient and serve in the less prominent ministry roles. One man, I remember, came into the church I was pastor of, and he left because he had to wait a year, according to the policy of the church, to become an active deacon. Another wanted the role of deacon, but was not willing to be involved to get to know the people, which was, in that church, the ministry of the deacon. Still another wanted to be a teacher, but only if it was done like another church of another denomination. He didn't want to do it the way we were doing it. I once attended a seminar banquet and sat at the table closest to the platform and was asked to give up my seat to someone else. And the someone else turned out to be the main speaker for the event. I went to the back of the room and sat alone at a table for 10. You know, since then I have never again taken the front seat. Again. Jesus turned the world's wisdom upside down. The heart of a servant is valued by God. Second, Jesus modeled service. John chapter 13, verse 12, down to verse 15. We turn there to John 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then wash, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Foot washing was not a pleasant job. And yet Jesus himself did that lowest chore. Servanthood begins when we move beyond our own comfort to relieve the discomfort of others. The kingdom of God is marked by commitment to serve. Third, Jesus judges service. Matthew chapter 25, if you want to turn there. Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" And then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Our actions have nothing to do with salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Jesus illustrated that his disciples will be servants. James chapter 2, verse 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Matthew 23, verse 11. "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." There's often criticism of ministry by those who have many excuses why they do not do those same things. Do you know what the pastor's primary ministry task is? Preaching the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Do you know what the pastor's second most important job is? Teaching the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The sheep do the work of ministry, and the shepherds teach them how, doing some of the work himself as a servant leader. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You have a great day.